privilege to speak under the themes of City Point Church every single month. We have a new theme, and it is a word that our leadership and our oversight have placed as a word for us as a church. And we are right in the midst of one of the most exciting themes as a church: reach your world. Reach your world. And I'm really excited about this. If you were not here last week, Pastor Gray, my awesome husband, opened this theme, Reach Your World, with We Are the Salt, a message called We Are the Salt. If you didn't get the chance to listen to that, maybe you did and you want to listen to it again, you can do that on Podbean. All our messages from every week, we load up to Podbean straight after our second service so that you have access to it. You can listen to it through the week and enrich your life that way. But he unpacked last week who we are, the salt of the earth. And so I'm going to go actually from there this week. I'm going to launch from that place that he set up last week as us being the salt of the world to our responsibility in it. Because being the salt of the world is a great thing, but we have a responsibility from here in it. In Mark 16:15, Jesus appears to his disciples after his resurrection, and he says to them, "Go into all the world, go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to one and to all." Now, Jesus had already paid the price. At this moment, when he declares these words, he had already set us free. Already set us free. The price had been paid. Our chains are broken. But here's the thing. We still have a part to play in it. A huge part to play in it. Not everybody knows yet.
That's right.
Not everybody knows. And the reason he asked us to do it is because he was leaving, but we are here. And we would be here until such a time that he comes back for us. And so it is our responsibility that we go from here and share the good news of what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. At one point of time for each and every one of us, it was different for all of us, I imagine. But each and every one of us had a moment where someone, somewhere, extended the invitation for us to know who Jesus is, to encounter who he is, to come into contact with that message. I remember my moment. I was 3 years old. I was brought up by Christian parents, which is just an amazing privilege. But at 3 years old, in a service just like this, a preacher extended an invitation for those who would like Jesus in their hearts to accept and to come down the front. That's how it was done then. And I was seated about the third row and a little bit in. And obviously, being very young, my mum just thought I was one of those escaping children to the platform, where I got out of my seat and I came to the front in a really large church. And my mum chased me down thinking that I was just going for the stairs. I'm going to get that microphone. I've always been wired that way, but it wasn't. I wanted Jesus in my heart. The most amazing thing is that the extension of this invitation, I was willing to take it at 3, even though I thought to have Jesus in my heart means they had to cut me open and he'd be put in. I was still willing to respond and come forward and do it. But what each and every one of us have at one time been extended that invitation to come into contact with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that is exactly what I want to focus on this morning, this key element in each and every one of our testimonies, and in so many yet to come, is this moment, the invitation, which is what I've titled my message this morning for those who are taking notes. So as I open up about this key and crucial element this morning, I'm going to get you to turn to Matthew 21, verse 10, for those who are following along. It'll be up on the screen. Excuse me. It'll be up on the screen for those who do not have that this morning. But this passage of scripture is set around the significant event in the Bible called Palm Sunday. Now, if you are unfamiliar with this story, it is not Palm Sunday like high five. It is a specific, special event in the Bible in which Jesus enters a town. And this I want to read right here from Matthew 21, verse 10. It's right there. It says, "When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred." I want to pause there. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. Did you know it was possible to stir a whole city?
Wow.
I just think about what that looks like. What would that have felt like? Yeah. To be in a city where the whole city is stirred.
Yeah, wow.
To be honest, we actually are hosting a really significant games here in the next short amount of time. And I keep forgetting. Until I come in contact with somebody who's working or volunteering at it. Maybe they've got tickets to a certain part. I keep forgetting. And yet we're hosting something really massive for Queensland. But Jesus is entering a city and the whole city is stirred. The whole city. I can imagine the atmosphere was electric. It was contagious. Ask the person beside you, are you stirred up? You stirred up? I'm telling you now that if you were, you probably would have asked it like, are you stirred up? As opposed to, oh my gosh, are you stirred up? It's got a sound to it. It's got a sound to it. It's a bit excited. It's good to ask each other because it's impossible to stir up a city if we can't stir up the person beside us.
Wow, come on, that's it.
If you can't stir up your neighbor or your world, then forget about stirring up a whole city. Are you stirred up? Are you passionate about the things of God? Are you stirred up? Because here at City Point North, we are passionate about seeing this area stirred up for God. Come on. We have to be stirred up. It's no good talking about being stirred up if we can't wake up the 8:30 service. Come on. Come on, let's wake up. Let's exercise. Let's try this on. We're heading into one of the most exciting seasons as a church that we come into every year, and that is Easter. And did you know that 82% of people would come to our Easter services, our Good Friday service, and our Experience Easter production on Easter Sunday if only they were invited? That has come out of a consensus done in Australia on would they take the invitation up to a religious service around Easter. 82% of Australians said yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
However, did you know that only about 2% of the church-going population around the world will invite someone to church? And that's not this Easter. That's ever. In all of their Christian days. I imagine, however, that this day spoken about in Matthew 21 verse 10 would have been really different. Really, really different. I imagine that the reason the whole city was stirred up is because they all knew about this special day and they've been invited to be part of the celebration. They were going. I can imagine that it was on everybody's lips. I can imagine that everybody was helping one another get there. Those that were finding it difficult with travel were being offered an extended an invitation to have help to get there. I imagine that if somebody was still sitting in the marketplace watching everybody go the same way, you wouldn't have just walked past. I imagine you would have called out, hey, what are you doing just sitting over there? Do you not know that Jesus is coming? Come, be part of it. An invitation would have been extended. There is no other way that it would have been written in the Word of God, a whole town was stirred up if the whole town was not there.
Yeah, that's right.
A whole town is stirred up. They would have known. They would have been extended an invitation to this. I've been reflecting on this for the last couple of weeks. I felt really convicted in the last couple of weeks since the passing of Reverend Billy Graham, an incredible man of God. But it's made me consider this. I wonder if he was required to extend the invitation to encounter Jesus Christ to millions because we have been unwilling to share it with the ones.
Wow. Wow.
If everybody turned to their neighbor and asked, everybody would be hit. Everybody would receive an invitation. But he was required to do it for millions. We have to have this revelation, church, that if we don't invite people, they're going to hell. If we don't tell people about Jesus, they're going to be lost and they're going to remain lost. Unless we extend them the invitation to hear the good news, this world will remain lost. So here's Jesus in this story, entering a city for Palm Sunday, and because he is there, a whole city is stirred up. Christ, church, when we understand that Jesus Christ is in us, we can stir up a whole city too. Because he was there, a city was stirred up. Because he is in you, this city could be stirred up. I believe that this week, if we catch this, if we believe this, we can stir up this entire region, church. Caboolture, Moray Field, Belmere, Burpengary, Elimba, Wamuran, Narangba. Are you hearing this, church? Ningi, Bribie. This area could be stirred up if we get an encounter of who God is in us. It could begin. You can stir up your workplace, your school, your university if you get a revelation today of who God is for you. So this morning, I want to explore this just a little bit deeper about this step to someone else's future this morning. So this is not a message for you in essence. We're here for just a couple of minutes, but this message is for you to take out. It's an equipping moment that we come together to get equipped, to be encouraged, to do what God has called us to do, to take out today. It is the invitation. The invitation. Every invitation we extend to somebody has the possibility to let them know who Jesus is. I think this is one of the most exciting things we get to be part of. We live in a world where we are inundated with invitation moments or invitation encounters. We receive them all the time by email, by calendar invite, by Facebook invite, Instagram, Snapchat. There are so many different forms in which we are invited, and we are invited to parties and weddings and concerts and football matches and barbecues and dinner dates and holidays and concerts. There is never a shortage of invitation encounters. And the reason why people accept or respond to the invitation is because of the source of the invitation. You will only take up an invitation if you like the source of the invitation. I want to give a quick example of this. A number of years ago, I invited my husband to join me for Valentine's Day on a very special date. I had been super excited about this. Les Miserables was coming out on the big screen. And I invited him to join me in Gold Class. This is a beautiful experience for those of you who haven't actually had this. You get dinner while you watch a movie and you can recline back. It's awesome. And I had been building this up. Les Miserables is one of my favorite theater pieces. And so he is really excited about it. I probably forgot to mention one key factor to him about this special invitation. It was a musical. Graham didn't know it was a musical, and the minute it opens and Russell Crowe starts to sing, I can feel my husband's eyes boring into the side of my head. What is this? And I turned to him and went, isn't this awesome? He was so disgusted that there was huffing and puffing, and I can't believe that we have spent money on Gold Class to see a musical with Russell Crowe, who can't even sing. And he proceeded to tell me throughout the whole, well, for the first 20 minutes of the film, he's off key, which ended for him in a loud snoring, about 20 minutes. And he snored for the next 2.5 hours while I enjoyed Les Mis. He hated it. He hated it. But he accepted the invitation because of the source. And do you know what? He's come and seen many musical theatre pieces with me since. Because that is the power of invitation. That's the power of invitation. It's because of the source. That's invitation in action. If we want to stir up this region, church, then we have to catch this principle. And I want to, in the time I've got with you this morning, just unpack three key principles about the action of invitation this morning. Would you turn with me to John 4? We're going to look at this action of invitation through the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. For those of you who don't know this story, you can follow along with what's up on the screens or have a little look in your word as we're going through this. But this is what Jesus did when he encountered a Samaritan woman, and not just any woman, but a Samaritan woman who had had five husbands. Five husbands. And she's there at noon to draw water from the well. Now, Jesus notices the time of day that she is out to get water, and she should have been out earlier. It's hot now, and most of the other women would have done it early in the morning. So he starts a conversation with her. He starts this conversation in John 4, verse 13. He says, "Woman, whoever drinks this water," because he's sitting next to a well, "will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give them, they will never thirst again." Church, we live in a thirsty world. We live in a world where people are looking for fulfillment in so many ways. They're looking for fulfillment in careers, in relationships, in so many forums. They're looking for fulfillment in material objects or in food. There are so many different forums. And they're looking for a greater fulfillment or peace. But and here is this woman who is trying one of these things, but she's had five broken relationships. She's looked for fulfillment in relationships, and she's not got it. There's a huge void for this woman. But she's about to receive an invitation for a relationship that will not fail, for a fulfilling relationship, an eternal relationship. See, there is so much brokenness in our world today. And the greater level of brokenness, the greater level of appreciation people have when they are extended an invitation to something good or to something whole, to something that will last. Here is this woman, and what I love about this is it's not complicated how Jesus came to this encounter with her. He was at the well, so was she. He didn't have to set anything up to make this moment happen, and nor do we. She came to this well and approached Jesus and what he was doing. So he engaged her. Jesus had to go to this well. I believe that God led him there, but I also believe that the Holy Spirit leads us into situations that we're not aware of before we get there. It's only usually after the invitation opportunity or the invitation moment that we have a real revelation of God setting us up for this encounter for somebody else. And what I love for this woman is, as he unpacks this verse about water, which is what they're actually around and they're doing, she begins to gradually understand the power of the invitation that's being offered to her in this moment by Jesus, which opens up my first point this morning about the invitation, and that is the quality of the invitation should inspire the quantity of how often it is extended. If you didn't catch that, it's up on the screen. The quality of the invitation should inspire the quantity of how often it is extended. So in other words, because the quality of our invitation is eternal life, then the quantity of us extending it should be always increasing. It should be the thing most often on our lips. It should be in our every conversation, in our every encounter. Now, sometimes when we're sharing about Jesus, it can take just one conversation. But at other times, it could take two or three conversations before even we warm up, not just the person that we're extending this opportunity to. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but sometimes when we have a conversation, it just doesn't come off the way you thought it would when you first extend it. And in that moment, we can tend to stop and go quiet. But what I've determined is this, because of the quality of eternal life, because of what it is, it's worth overcoming my perceived rejection to the invitation. Many people stop at what they perceive as rejection to their invitation when actually you've had a great conversation with somebody. You've sown a positive seed into somebody's life towards them accepting the invitation in the future. They might not have got saved right there in that moment, but that doesn't mean that your conversation didn't hold power. What happens usually in these instances is that over a time that we are sharing with these people, extending the invitation over and over, they are becoming more and more receptive to Jesus. So if we stopped after the first invitation and didn't extend a second invitation, for many, they will not have the chance to respond. Some people take many times of hearing the gospel before they understand what it is. And this is what I'm asking. I'm asking that we have a huge quantity of invitation encounters in our world, not just one or two. The quality of our invitation is just too great. In leading up to our Easter season, I'm going to ask that you have quantity invitation moments because of the quality of the message of it. I'm going to get you to practice this right now. Everybody came in today and is sitting on one of these awesome brochures, all right? This is all the information anybody would need to know about coming out to one of our Easter services. And so what I want you to do is grab that card out from underneath your bottom. And what I want, I'm going to get you to try this on, this message on for size. It's not just for me this morning, it's for you, all right? I'm going to get you to turn to the person beside you, pass them the pamphlet and say, would you come out to our Easter services in the next couple of weeks? Come on, extend the invitation to the person beside you. Good, Lucy is coming. Some people have accepted the invitation already. Look at this. Accepted invitations everywhere. Okay, I'm going to get you to turn to your second choice, the person on the other side. And I'm going to get you to ask them, would you come out to our family fun day next week? Come on, ask the person on the other side. Will you come out? I'll be here. I'll enjoy the occasion with you. Come on, it's going to be great for your family. It's going to be awesome. All right. That's easy inviting. Let me tell you why. These people are already here. They accepted the invitation before they arrived this morning because they're here sitting in the house of God. That was easy inviting. But some of us needed to warm up. All right, so I was just giving you a moment. I'm going to ask you to extend one more invitation this morning. I'm going to ask you to extend an invitation not to somebody seated beside you on either side, because potentially you came with them. That's really easy inviting. I'm going to ask you to extend an invitation to the person maybe sitting in front of you, or maybe the person behind you, to have a coffee with you in the cafe after the service today. Go on. All right. All right. I am really hoping that there are new coffee dates happening after this service this morning. Because what I'm wanting to know is, did you do it? Were you brave enough or bold enough to do it? Or did you sit quietly and go, oh my gosh, she's asking me to do something so out of my comfort zone? Which leads me to point number two today, and it says, expand the range of the invitation to include everyone. That's my point number two this morning. Expand the range of the invitation to include everyone. Often our range is so small that we're focusing on just the same one person, one or two. We can often do this for our own comfort reasons, just like that in our service today, or for the significance we place on the one that we're extending the invitation to. We can do this for up to 20, 30, 40 years, and it is important for some, it is important for family members and significant ones that we are still believing to come to Christ. It is important that you stay focused on those, but not exclusively focused. Because you could be missing the opportunities all around you. If you have a rejection on that one, it could affect your invitation to many. So here is Jesus in John verse 7. And we see that this woman walks up to the well and he engages in a conversation. And this is what I love. His range included Samaritans. He wasn't just focused on the Jewish community. His range was expanded in this moment. In 1 Corinthians 19, verse 23, it says, and this is the Apostle Paul saying, even though I am free of the demands and expectations, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Therefore, I've got dogs so that I can go dog walking. Therefore, I brought a motorbike so that I can take guys out and ride. Therefore, I've joined a football team so that I am playing football with others. Therefore, I've become a musician so I can play in bands and go to gigs. Therefore, I've started baking because everybody loves to eat and then people would get involved in my world. Therefore, I mow lawns, as everybody wants their lawn mowed after it stops raining. Therefore, I can be all things to all men, is what the apostle is sort of saying in Mel's extended version. That's what it says. It says, I entered their world and I tried to experience things from their point of view so I could reach their world. How can you enter into somebody else's world? There are millions of things you can do to initiate. And initiation is the key to an invitation moment. I'm so glad, you mightn't have been aware of this, but I'm so glad that one of the churches in our local area last year initiated an Easter egg hunt. I know that an Easter egg hunt and the Easter bunny don't really have anything to do with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm not actually a massive fan of an Easter egg hunt, but what I am a fan of is using what people relate to understand who Jesus is and open up invitation encounter moments. And so I thought it was awesome when almost 200 people from our community came out. It tells us that someone in our area is taking initiative to create invitation moments. We're not just after a church who will turn up to our church events. We are after believers who are discovering the power of the invitation and using initiative to expand the range of their invite moments to involve everyone. Everyone. Which leads me to point number three this morning as the band comes. The quality of our invitation should be compelling. This is not just the quality of the invitation, but in the way we deliver the invitation. Compelling is something we've really lost in our 21st century. What does compel mean? It means to hold the attention of a person, to be persuasive, to be gripping and captivating, to be enthralling and exciting. You may think, well, I don't really know how to do that. That's not my personality. But I've learned this, that God is not looking for people who talk great. God is looking for people who talk about the great things he has done for them. That's the difference. And we can all do that. We can all talk about the great things he has done for us, for we already know the good news. He has already begun a great work in each and every one of us. But often we miss it. We miss that because we are focused on what he has not yet done in our worlds. An invitation is not a compelling invitation when we're talking about what God has not yet done in our worlds. And when we, but if we are talking about what he has done, and when we focus on that, then we become aware of what God has done in our worlds, and so do others. They notice. In Luke 14, Jesus says this in the parable of the great banquet. The house must be full. So invite all your friends. And the disciples say to Jesus, yes, we've done this. Tick, done this. We let them know. We put out a Facebook event. We've let them know by email. Everybody got hit in one lot. They let them know. But Jesus said, there is still room. So go and invite all of the poor and the needy and those that are far from God. And so the disciples go out and they let them know. And then they come back in and the disciple says, yep, we've done that too. So Jesus says, okay then, for he looks around and so many have not accepted the invitation. So he says, Jesus says here, okay then, go out and compel the people to come in. He uses that word, compel. What does that mean? It means you persuade people. People persuade us to do things all the time. All the time. They persuade us to buy things that we do not need. They persuade us to go to places we do not really want to go. They persuade us to take on more debt than what we can really afford to do so. They persuade us to eat food that is not good for us. The power of persuasion is everywhere in our world. But we have a compelling message. And that's what Jesus was saying to the disciples. Well, go and compel the people to come in. What he was really saying to his disciples is, would you share the news that we have here or the invitation of coming to this banquet that I am at with its full revelation? Who will they be having dinner with? What could happen in their world when they come and encounter him and spend time with him? The power of persuasion happens all the time. So church, I want to challenge you. The quality of our invitation is the best there is, and it's good for your life and it's good for theirs. I think it is worth a compelling invitation. I want to extend compelling invitations. I want it to be in my nature and in my DNA and always on my lips. And if you agree with me, church, come on. Right now, would you begin to get stirred up with this message? Would you begin to let it stir you? I had a conversation just this last week with my eyelash lady. My eyelash lady has not yet. I know everybody laughs at my. I'm witnessing to my spray tan lady, my eyelash lady, because it's the people in my world that I get to see regularly. My eyelash lady, I've been telling for months now of the incredible miracles that we have seen happen here at City Point North. Do you know what? She doesn't know Jesus yet, but she is amazed. It's what our whole conversations are about when I'm lying there getting my eyelashes done. If she's amazed, church, we should too be amazed. Because you know what I've discovered? Sometimes we are here and in this so often, we forget that this message is powerful. We can be settled here so much that we don't understand that what we already have experienced, that we're already rubbing around with others around us, is Morayfield and Caboolture's best kept secret and is their answer. Come on, let it stir you this morning. We've got to start to gossip about how great this is. We do. We have to expect to have conversations, because conversations are invitation opportunities. Being a Christian is the most exciting adventure you can be on. It's not boring. It's awesome. I never know what God's going to do next. So I want this to be my daily focus. And I've written it down, and they're going to put it up on the screen here, because I'm going to ask you to consider it to be yours too. I've written this, and it's in my office right before my eyes, because I want it to be evident all the time. I'm figuring out how to put it on my phone so that I can see it every time I open my screen. Every time it is this. I've just written it for you to watch. That I will do whatever it takes, wherever, whenever, using all means possible, except sin, to be the invitation for people to find Jesus. If you would stand with me this morning in this, I'm going to ask you to read. I'm going to read it again. Would you read it out with me? That I will do whatever it takes, wherever, whenever, using all means possible, to be the invitation for people to find Jesus. Come on, let's give him glory right now. Come on. Church, if we would do this, that means Waytown here in Caboolture is not safe, because we're going there. If we're going to do this as a church, it means our single mums, our young teen single mums, they're going to hear about Jesus and what he can do for them, because it's going to be on our lips when we have encounters for them. It means the poor in our area are not going to hell, because they're going to know the gospel of Jesus Christ through our invitation. It means that the drug dealers in this area that are trying to possess this area are going to be dispossessed by a church who believes that Jesus is the answer for young people in this world. Come on, let it stir you. This is going to have implications on your friendships, on your networks, on your businesses, on your world. Whatever it takes should be our mantra. And this is what Jesus's focus was. So here's what happened, because there's always going to be results, and it will see a city stirred. This is what happens. It says it here in verse 39. Many of the Samaritans of that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. I'm going to read that again. Many of the Samaritans of that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Do you realize that when you extend the invitation, it is not only your words now that carry an invitation? Somebody else has caught it. And it'll go like wildfire through our community. If you could stir this within yourself right now to cause your spirit to say, I will be that invitation, it is contagious, and others will catch it. Others will catch it. Just one woman and an entire region was turned upside down for Jesus Christ. What about this region, church? Could we believe that God would lead us into conversations and lead us into invitation opportunities for people to encounter him? This could have a radical transformation for our area. We could be known, just like this passage in the Word, that says we could be known as a city stirred. We could be. Come on, let it happen within each and everyone. We have to get strategic. It only takes one key athlete, one politician, one key musician. I think about this all the time. I pray for Keith Urban all the time, because what happens if that man has an incredible radical transformation through Jesus Christ? We've adopted him as our own, for he is a boy from this area. What happens if this man gives his heart to Jesus? Can you believe with me? Come on, church. Are you seeing this? It takes just one key businessman or one passion-filled student to change this entire area. God has put you around people. You've been placed by divine appointment. You've been placed in that sphere because of what God has already done in your life. People need to hear it. If you get bold and courageous this week, if you get this invitation revelation in your spirit, and you expect that God would lead you into moments with people, then I believe conversations will open up and invitations will become evident for you to be able to extend invitations for people in our area to know who Jesus is. And we, church, could see how whole region stirred for Jesus. I'm going to do something just a little bit different. If this message has stirred you this morning, we're finishing up right now. But if this message has stirred you right now, I'm going to ask you to accept the invitation to be the invitation for somebody else. And if you would do that this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand right where you're at. I'm going to ask you to stand up. People are standing up all over this place. And the reason I'm going to ask you to stand this morning is I'm going to believe with you this morning for invitation encounters to come across your world. For moments in your everyday life where you will be able to have a conversation with somebody that will invite them to encounter who Jesus is. I'm also going to ask you right now, as I am praying for you, I'm going to ask you to be praying for our region. Right now, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, why don't you begin to pray out? Come on, we're going to pray for our region that people are craving and desiring a spirit of salvation over our region right now. Come on. Father, I pray for each and every person who has taken a stand this morning, believing for encounters with people who do not yet know who you are. I pray, God, that you would flood them with a quantity of invitation moments, that they would be able to extend the incredible invitation, the incredible compelling message of who you are to them. Lord God, I pray that you would open their eyes to those moments and that they would take those moments. And we believe right now together, God, for this region. We believe to see it stirred up for you, God. And it begins in us as we begin to get stirred to share your good news. But we believe that this house would be filled, as Jesus said, with people who are beginning to understand who he is. Oh God, would this be an area, a region known for being stirred up for the things of heaven? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't want to move on this morning without just extending one more invitation. Just one more invitation. You might be here this morning and you don't really know what I'm talking about. You don't know who Jesus is yet. And I don't want to move on without extending this invitation to you personally and saying Jesus wants to know you. He wants to encounter you. And if that is you this morning, you're feeling it stirring within you and you say, I don't know who Jesus is, but I want to know who Jesus is. I'm going to ask you right now, if you would like to accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, would you just slip your hand up right where you are? Right where you are. I'm going to ask church that you get involved too right now. Why don't you ask the person beside you? Would you like to accept an invitation to Jesus? Come on, church, let's get active in this. You ask. If you are there and you would like to accept this invitation, or the person beside you has just asked, would you like to accept this invitation? Why don't you slip your hand up, or they can slip their hand up with you? Come on.